We are not just servants, or we're not just slaves. We are a kingdom. For we are a chosen generation. We are of royal priesthood. Once we were not a people, but now we are the very people of God. We are a part of God's kingdom, and we are priests unto God.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In Revelation chapter 4, the question of God's sovereign right as creator had been forever settled, resulting in universal adoration and worship in heaven. Now, in chapter 5, the question surrounds a mysterious seven-sealed book and who might be found worthy to break the seals and to look thereon. Our observer, the Apostle John, weeps because initially the search proves fruitless. But as our minister, Dr. Raphael Thomas, developed his message, we saw how John's sorrow is turned to unspeakable joy because one was indeed found worthy. And that worthy one is no less than our crucified and risen Savior himself. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Revelation chapter 5 and listen with us as Dr. Thomas concludes his message, The Lion and the Lamb and the Sealed Scroll. Here, once again, is Dr. Thomas.
And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. The first picture we have of the Savior is that of the lion. But we also have the picture of the lamb. It says that lamb had seven horns. Now, a literal lamb may have two horns. And the horn represents power. So a lamb with seven horns is all powerful. He is omnipotent. This lamb may look simple, but he is all powerful. The lamb had seven eyes. He had complete knowledge. Not only is the lamb omnipotent, but the lamb is omniscient, all-knowing. It goes on to say, it had the seven spirits of God having been sent out into all the earth. The lamb is omnipresent. So the passage is bringing to our attention that not only is this lamb one who identifies with humanity as the seed of David from the tribe of Judah, but this lamb is God himself, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the omniscient God, all-powerful God, the same God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 1 tells us, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in the heaven, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God himself, fully God and fully man. He is worthy. It is a key in the book of Revelation, for it appears 28 times. The Lamb of God. It represents the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at Exodus chapter 12, you may turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. That's Exodus chapter 12. They were preparing to leave captivity, to leave bondage, to break free from the powers of the enemy. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into the houses to strike you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of the lamb had to be upon the doorpost, and they had to remain under the blood. The only safe place to be in this time is to be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, some preachers are criticized for preaching slaughterhouse salvation. But my Bible tells me that Jesus, that if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled in those days were able to make people acceptable unto God, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living Christ, the living God? It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that is the remedy for sin. Bible tells us, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Church, we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our families. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the Lord's own army none can overthrow. There is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is healing and deliverance from the powers of sin and Satan by the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. On the Day of Atonement, the goat was killed. The blood was sprinkled, and it covered the sins for a year. But when Jesus appeared on the scene and John the Baptist caught a glimpse of him, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, not just of Israel, the sin of the world. For the first time, a lamb that was good enough to deal with the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb. I thank God that Isaiah saw him. And he said he became as a lamb to the slaughter. Yet he opened not his mouth. He submitted himself to death. For he was your substitute and mine. So we have seen the scroll, the seals, the search. We got a glimpse of the Savior. But what about the saints? Where are the saints? Now, I did not see in chapter 4 or chapter 5 a specific reference to the saints, except that the prayers of the saints in verse 8, going up to God as incense But in verse 9 and 10, we have a song that could only be sung by the redeemed. So I believe there are somewhere around the throne of God. For this is after the rapture. And just before the opening of the seals, which pour out the judgments on the earth. So the saints, I believe, are there in heaven somewhere. There are other saints who will join later. They will attend class a little bit late because their time has not yet come. These are the tribulation saints who are going to be saved, who are going to be sealed by Jesus Christ during the tribulation. And at one time we hear the voice of the martyred saints crying out from under the altar, "How long will it be? How long?" And they were told, wait a little longer, because the set number that will be saved during that period must first be fulfilled. So those are not here yet. We will see them come a little later. And somebody is going to ask the question, who are these? And from where have they come? And the answer is going to be given, these are they who have come through great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. If it is now, it's the blood of the Lamb. If it is then, it is the blood of the Lamb. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But we see some things in about these saints. The Bible tells us that they are redeemed. If we look at verse 8, "Now when we had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." You know, it is important to continue to pray. To keep on praying, because your prayers go somewhere. Your prayers has the ability to reach heaven. God collects those prayers and they go up to him like incense. When you pray, even if you don't see anything happening, don't give up. Let us not become weary in well-doing. We are told to pray and not to faint. We are to pray without ceasing. Continue praying, church. If we prayed for 21 days, we must not stop praying. We must continue to supplicate the throne of grace, because prayer is making a difference. When you feel a little fire burning, then you know a little prayer is turning. It is time to even intensify the prayer some more. And so, to find out some more about the saints, let us look at the song in heaven. A new song. So we have the scroll, the seals, the search, the Savior, the saints, and the song. What were they singing about? What song was the hit song in heaven? Robert Coleman identified 14 songs in the book of Revelation. That is 7 times 2. You notice the number 7 is always important in the book of Revelation. But we want to look at this song. It says, "You are worthy to take the scroll." It identifies that the one who took the scroll was worthy. And we will look at 7 things shortly that defined his worthiness. Don't watch the clock too closely. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us by God to God by your blood." The saints are redeemed by blood. "Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, This is God's plan, to call people from every tribe and every people and every nation. So they are there in fulfillment to the word of God. This gospel of the kingdom must reach every nation, every kindred, every tribe, every tongue, every people. God's plan is a global plan. It goes on to say, and have made us kings and priests to our God. We are not just servants, or we're not just slaves. We are a kingdom, for we are a chosen generation. We are of royal priesthood. Once we were not a people, but now we are the very people of God. We are a part of God's kingdom, and we are priests unto God. And it goes on to say, and we shall reign on the earth. You see, at this point, the next big event for the saints is to come back with Christ to reign on the earth. So after that brief period in heaven, we are going to come back with Christ to reign on the earth in the millennium, 1,000 years. So that's about the saints. And that is identified in the song. There is a song which says, holy, holy is what the angels sing, by Johnston Oatman. He says, there is singing up in heaven, such as we have never known, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like him, like them, while we serve the Master here. And listen what the refrain says. It says, holy, holy is what the angels sing. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that our salvation brings. Do you know the joy of sins forgiven, my friend? Do you know what it is to be free from sin and of Christ within, to be made joint heirs with Jesus our Lord? The songwriter says, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know the joy of sins forgiven, even now there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose all their guilty stains. He is worthy. The song says he is worthy. We worship him because he is worthy. Ed Hinson points out 7 reasons why we must worship him for his worthiness. And if we look in the song, it says, because of his power. 2, because of his riches. 3, because of his wisdom. 4, because of his might. 5, because of his honor. 6, because of his glory. And 7, because of his blessing. We worship the Lamb that was slain, but is now alive forevermore. As we come to the final scene, I draw our attention to verse 11 to 14. It says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is reason to worship him. Let there be glory and honor and praises be unto the Lamb that was slain, but is now alive forevermore, the only one worthy. to open the scroll and to execute God's plan on the earth. Verse 13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea. So they search heaven, the angelic host. They search earth with human beings. And under the earth, referring to demonic realms. And there was none worthy. But all creation join in to worship him. Because every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now, notice the same kind of worship which was given to the Creator in chapter 4 is the kind of worship that is given to the Redeemer. For Jesus is the Redeemer. God the Father was being worshipped for his acts of creation, but together they share the same essence and deserve the same glory. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. And I believe the church is waiting for me to say amen also.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.